welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And what we're talking about today, wow, it's about being newly diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And so this is something for people who have been newly diagnosed with this chronic disease of the central nervous system. But as we will discuss, on some levels, we all are newly diagnosed.
Even those of us that have been living with the disease for 20 or more than 20 years, Dan.
Especially those of us who have been living with the disease for more than 20 years, because that would be us.
It is. Ouch.
I know. But this, I just don't even want to think about it.
No.
Well, obviously we do think about it because we're here talking about it. But no, this is just talking about, as we looked at things that we do and the interest in newly diagnosed people who have just heard the words, you have multiple sclerosis. And we were thinking and talking about, for those of us who have been living with it, me for over 22 years, you for
nearly 25.
Exactly. And so then we're wondering, do we really have a lot in common with the people who are newly diagnosed? I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, as we're just talking about, it's like, you know, if I graduated from high school 25 years ago, but graduated from high school 25 years ago, and then have somebody who's just graduating from high school right now. Yes, we both have the high school graduation, but it's like, do we have that much in common with people who are graduating this year, 25 years after we graduated?
Unless we graduated from the same school, not really. I mean, it's like saying we have a lot in common because we're all Americans, or we have a lot in common because we share a gender. Like, if I see a woman, oh, we have a lot in common because we're women. But when you see somebody living with multiple sclerosis, I feel like that gives us an upper hand in having things in common.
To a certain extent, but I mean, but then I guess then it is. If I say, oh, I know exactly what you, newly diagnosed person, I know exactly what you're going through. And it's just like, to some levels, do we? This is going very theoretical, hypothetical, cerebral. But I mean, it is just talking about what that is and what that looks like. And I think on some levels, we do, and on some levels, we don't. But I think that, to in order to understand more about what the newly diagnosed are living with right now, it prompts the discussion of what was life like for you back nearly 25 years ago when you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I mean, we won't get totally into the weeds. I think maybe just more high level. I mean, what led you to even think, I need to have somebody check this out?
I had, as I've mentioned in the past, I had numbness in my feet, which my doctor was able to explain away by saying I wore bad shoes. And then I had numbness in my right hand about 6 months later, and my doctor could explain that away, that I was working on too much homework. I was 23 years old at the time. I was just finishing up with college, and gosh, I was only 22. My God. Oy. Anywho, and then I was working one day in Detroit, and my eye, like, wouldn't move, my left eye, and that's when I saw my doctor, because everything was double. You can imagine, like, I would look at my computer screen at work and I would see two computer screens, and I didn't care what kind of gibberish my doctor was telling. I knew she wouldn't be able to explain that away. So I saw her and she was like, Yeah, I can't explain this away. Let me send you to an ophthalmologist. And that's how the whole journey started.
So with that, what was that like? So we can go through, you know, or I guess skip the testing. But I mean, what was that like for you when the doctor, the neurologist confirmed that your numbness, double vision, locked eyes, everything was multiple sclerosis? What was in your head?
Well, certainly a doctor can fix this. I mean, I was so naive, you know. I've just graduated from college. The world is all laid out in front of me. And I didn't know anything about MS. I remember I called one of my friends and left a message saying, oh, I've been diagnosed with MS. Hope to talk to you soon. They've got some drugs. I'll be fine. So I think I was really naive and I didn't know much about the disease. It certainly didn't have people. Well, we had Annette Funicello, and if you have to Google, look on Wikipedia who Annette Funicello is, that will show my age. She's someone I grew up with, and she had the disease. But really, I didn't know much about MS, so I think I was completely, forgive the expression, I was blindsided. But at the same time, I was optimistic, perhaps naive, but I thought, oh, just give me some steroids and I'll be all better. And sure enough, I was, but I didn't understand that the steroids weren't fixing anything, or they weren't making the disease less multiple sclerosis-y, if you get what I'm saying.
Totally.
Yeah. How about you? I don't think I've ever really heard. I mean, I've heard, but please tell me. I mean, I want to hear. What was it like for you?
Well, I mean, and as we had commented and talked about before, just that I had numbness in my hands and I felt like, you know, tightness in my chest and everything. And honestly, the first time that MS was even a thought, I'll bring this up. I mean, but with my ex-wife, okay, but we've heard, I've told you the bat story. And it was just as I told this bat story to my in-laws and everything, I saw my sister-in-law and her husband, kind of as I was talking about this, staring back and forth at each other as I was talking about things. And just like there was almost like this suspicious look on their faces. They were looking at each other kind of suspect. And never once did I think they didn't believe me. But after I finished my story, and they said something to the effect of, you know, they were very supportive, very nice. I mean, I always liked them, but they had said they were concerned because one of their friends had multiple sclerosis, and a lot of what I was talking about was very similar to what their friend had been going through. Obviously not the bat in the shoe, but I mean, as far as the numbness and everything like that, and everything of which I just described, is a lot of what their friend was going through. So I think that kind of planted the seed, you know, for all the testing I was going through. And so there was that sort of indication. And so I think then on December 17th, 1999, when my doctor called, and, you know, when I was at work, to say that the radiology report had come back, saying most likely multiple sclerosis, thereby then confirming what my sister and brother-in-law at the time had kind of planted the seed on, you know. And at that point, I'm thinking, oh, it's not a big deal. But then as soon as I hung up the phone and just realized what this was going to mean, yeah, I bawled.
Oh, wow. I've never heard that story. That would be, yikes. See, I had no idea. I went to my primary doctor once, 6 months later, saw her again, problem went away. Then I went the weekend I was diagnosed and I saw her, and she said, and I giggle, and that's so not right, but she said it looks like it could be a brain tumor or multiple sclerosis. I don't remember if it was my primary doctor that said that or it was the ophthalmologist, excuse me. And so when you hear something like that, you're like, oh crap, this is bad. And then when the ophthalmologist says, oh no, it's multiple sclerosis, you're like, phew, dodged a bullet. Oh, yeah. Gosh, I never heard that story, Dan.
I'm sorry.
Wow, yeah, I had no idea.
But those were the things, because just like that just sort of prepped you for it. But I don't think that even if you had all the indication, I don't think anything could prepare you for it. When that becomes more of a reality, you know, I think then for me, that was December 17th, so a week before Christmas Eve, and then I wasn't able to see the neurologist until Valentine's Day. So I'm just like, that was the worst, to be able to have to sit there for essentially 2 months with unknowns, meanwhile within there, starting a new job at CMU. So, I mean, I started at Central on January 3rd, 2000. And so I had to sit there for another month and a half and just keeping my mouth shut. Meanwhile, doing all of your insurance and all this prepping and planning with the thought that I'm likely going to get diagnosed with MS here before long. So what does my insurance look like? And those are the things, you know, and what, and I was 27 at the time, you know, and just all that you had to deal with in starting a new job. And my biggest concern at that point was looking at long-term, short-term disability and all of these other things. And I remember thinking, I'm only 27. I should not be having to think about this. You know, and then Valentine's Day, you have MS. And I was so afraid to say anything to my employer. I mean, because those are things, and you're not required to report those things. But it was just like, then the day after I was diagnosed, you know, I went into Linda's office, my boss, and told her just saying, this is reality, and just such a comfort, because her first words are like, what can we do to help? And, you know, I was on the second floor, and she's like, we can move you to the first floor if the stairs get to be too much. I mean, just very, very, very welcoming. And I'm just, because in my head, I'm thinking, this is a public university. They can't, you know, sabotage me, because this is public dollars, right? And so, but those, you know, that was a reality of my newly diagnosed self.
Wow. I was diagnosed on November 14th, 1997, a day that will live in infamy. And I took it seriously, and I was emotional, and I was a basket case, let's be perfectly honest.
It did hit you. I mean, you were, you know, lackluster.
I was so sad, and I still thought, I'll be okay. But, you know, you just know something is different. And I don't know about anyone else out there who's living with MS. Once you hear you have it, I think about it every single day. I'd be a liar if I said I didn't. I mean, it's just part of me, and I just wasn't ready to have something become part of me when I was 23 years old. And so that was dark. And I don't like to go back there.
And I understand.
Yeah, and so now when I see people that are newly diagnosed, I understand not being as open. I mean, now, Dan, you and I are both living with this disease, and we're open about pretty much everything we can talk about with this disease to try and help people, to share the load, and just because there is support out there. So when people are first diagnosed, I can remember how overwhelming it was and how frightening it was. And I remember my neurologist from when I was diagnosed said, oh, there'll be a cure in 5 years. And that gave me hope. And it helped to just, there'll be a cure in 5 years. And then 5 years later, there is no cure. And I've burned through all the medication that was available by 2002. And I was starting to lose my ability to walk. And I'm like, oh, bull crap. There is no cure. I'm in this for the long haul. And so I got on a different therapy. I started seeing a different neurologist. And I mean, I think people who are diagnosed now, I was looking, just trying to do a quick search. There's over 25 available medications to treat this disease. And as we've talked about before, that's good for people that are newly diagnosed, but I imagine it's incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah, I can't, you know, we had three, and, you know, at the time we had three and done, and that wasn't, you know, I think you like now having all these options, but at the same time, it's like, where do you even start? And so, I think then about, you know, having things in common with the newly diagnosed, I can't relate to being diagnosed and have 20 plus medicines to choose from and all of the social media and everything to, you know, just how that can be so overwhelming. But at the core, I think there's a lot that we totally can understand and relate to. I mean, because of that, where you just have basically, especially you were 20, 23, I was 27, and just having everything change and shift and changing your life and the trajectory of what you wanted to do with your career, with your life. And then you just had to, I'm not even saying you had to pivot. I mean, this was just totally, you know, going back to shore and regrouping, restocking your ship with like more resources and more knowledge to just recharge and figure out what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah, and it goes without saying, except it needs to be said, this is not a death sentence. Mm-mm. And there is, it's a pretty desperate, dark place when you're first diagnosed. I mean, you have to, like you said, you have to just make a whole new lifestyle plan and you have to change your life, but it's worth changing. And if you don't change, MS will change it for you. Yep. So I think that's the one thing that I would encourage somebody that's newly diagnosed is to know that this is scary, but you can and you will do it. You will survive an MS diagnosis. And I go back to Kathy Reagan Young, who was our guest last time or a few episodes ago, and she said, it's a life sentence, but you are living. You know, this is not a death sentence. You are still going to live and you can control the quality of your life. I mean, and sure, it may not be the way you had planned, but you still have good points and things to look forward to. I mean, good heavens, you know, we've talked in the past. We both got our graduate degrees. You changed jobs. We got married. We traveled. We speak. You know, we've had a lot of opportunities that we may not have been able to do had we not found each other. Heck, if we hadn't been diagnosed with MS, we never would have met in the first place. So look at the disease. Yes, it's a challenge. But hopefully when you are diagnosed, you can find the opportunities. And I'm not going to say the good stuff because it may not present good stuff right away. But I think if you can look at this as a test of endurance and just hang on for the long haul.
You talk about it being a dark place, and it is. I mean, it's scary, but it's like just giving yourself the time to adjust. I mean, there's so much that you want to just, you know, just p- pivot, change course, do whatever, and just, you know, and sometimes you can just keep going as it is. I mean, I did. I mean, I worked at Central for another like 17 years. You know, you just had the job, you got promoted, you did things, you worked, you ran, you met a girl, got married. But I think it's like giving yourself the time to adjust, but then it's like giving yourself the grace to deal with it. But then it's just like, give yourself a chance. Don't give up on yourself. I mean, and surround yourself with great people, with positive people, real people that'll give you the same grace that you give yourself. And I think that's the big thing in terms of dealing with the disease. But by the same token, then I would say, because MS is such an unpredictable, ever-changing disease, I would say on some levels, I would make the argument that even after 20 plus years, I feel that we all are still newly diagnosed, because there's always new things that come up, new challenges with the disease. And I'm not saying this is like overwhelming and like a hopeless thing. It's just, you always have new things to deal with. I mean, I'm dealing with things that come with MS and aging, and just how do you deal with it? And I mean, that's where you dig into your tried and true tool shed of finding the resources, finding the people, doing the things. People have been there, done that, that can help you make it through.
And I don't want to belittle multiple sclerosis, but I think those of us that are alive, every day it presents a new challenge, a new opportunity. And, you know, MS, we don't hold the market on an existence that may or may not be what you are looking towards or looking forward to having. You have to make what it you can. And like you said, you need to reach out to those resources. You need to not isolate yourself, as hard as that may be when you're diagnosed with a chronic illness, but just keep moving forward. And it's really, gosh, you know, it's been almost 25 years. I can't believe I'm old enough to say almost 25 years. It goes quickly. Mm-hmm. So you got to take this disease and own it. And just, you can't, God, that's really... Nobody's asking me for like inspiration or a pep talk or anything. But for me, I have to, Kathy, again, going back to our conversation with Kathy, she really inspired me. Just like give MS the middle finger and just be like, look what I can do despite the disease. So yeah, I feel like that conversation really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. When I'm having those poopy days and I'm like, okay, look what I can do still. And yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like totally off in La La Land, you're just thinking about. But,
well, it's a big topic that you have so much to think about and talk about in terms of bringing yourself back to the newly diagnosed era. And I think that it's something we continue to live with every day. I mean, it's very, very seldom that I don't think about life before MS, but I just, a lot of times I think, look how far I've come since those dark days. I mean, there's still, you know, shadows and clouds that come over pretty much every day where you're just like thinking, where do I go from here? And not am I going to get through today, but it's just like, you just know that it doesn't come easy. Nothing comes easy anymore. And you just go.
Yeah. And nothing worth having, you know, is not going to be a little bit of a struggle. And I don't want to age myself, because in my head, I'm still newly diagnosed and yep. I'm still young and I want to stay that way. I don't need the reminder that I'm old. Trust me, my wrinkles on my face tell me that. But it's just, I'm relevant. Because I'm living with multiple sclerosis and there's a community of nearly a million people out there that are also living with MS. So we need to keep the conversation going, and just, they help me. I help them. It's communication that we have this. And, you know, Dan, your help beyond belief, just because you also are living with the disease, so I'm lucky. And your spouse doesn't have to have MS. Your parents don't have to MS. You have to just communicate about your realities. And that will help. It's just to talk and to share. And I think that communication's big.
The communication's big. And I think then, too, as we talked about just how overwhelming it is with the number of medications and stuff, the one thing that we didn't have when we were diagnosed 20 plus years ago was all of the resources that are out there now. And I think, you know, for us and still today, we always talk about, you know, for newly diagnosed, I mean, the big places to turn, I mean, straight up, we always say like the Trinity of Multiple Sclerosis Resources is the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, and the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation. And they all have incredible websites, tons of information that'll help steer you in the right direction. But then there's also things like all the different apps, all the stuff like BezEMS and MyMS Team and Twill, and then websites like the MS Views and News and Real Talk MS Podcast. I mean, there's just so much out there, and that's just scratching the surface. I mean, we'll have links to all these on the show notes and everything, but there's so many online resources for information, plus than just the communities online through Facebook, through Twitter, through, you know, you name it.
And heck, you're doing a really good job because you're listening to our podcast. There's a community right here. You know, you had mentioned the Real Talk MS podcast, and there are different voices out there, and there are famous people who are living with the disease, so you can follow their journey and see how they're doing, because it does help to see others. Don't isolate yourself. I can't say that enough. Just isolation is tough. And there are communities online. If you get to the point where you just don't want to go out and about, you can do it. And to stay interacting and stay involved. So I think that's important. And I think it's really good to think about the fact that once you're newly diagnosed, you're kind of always newly diagnosed.
Well, and it keeps it fresh and keeps you living with this, and you know, makes it so we can connect. And I think that's just where you can go out and just be travel or be in some place at the store and meet somebody who has multiple sclerosis, and you both, even if the person is just diagnosed, you know, you can just be sharing information. So it's just like, it's just part of that community. So yeah, once newly diagnosed, you're always newly diagnosed. Wow.
Yeah, good conversation. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And our podcast producer, Ryan, is not here for this conversation today, but I appreciate that he's like letting us have the time to, back in my day, we're going way back, and just to talk about what it's like to live with multiple sclerosis. But I would be remiss, Dan Dickman,
yes,
if I did not ask you, do you have a moment of joy for this week?
I do, and I we should have like shared our things, because I don't know if you would have the same moment of joy. My moment of joy came with an ice cream sandwich we had last night. I had never seen anything like it, and that's where I need to get out more. But Jennifer, she went to the store and she came home. It wasn't enough that she found ice cream sandwiches, but they were ice cream sandwiches with Neapolitan ice cream in it.
They were delicious.
And yum, it's just like, I just wish they made the ice cream sandwiches with just strawberry ice cream, because that was like probably the best. And so I'm just thinking, I next time will make sure that the strawberry side is the last side I will eat. Mm-hmm. So that was my moment of joy. What do you got?
My moment of joy is I had lunch with a friend, a girl's luncheon this week, and I rolled up and she said, "Wow, Jennifer, your hair looks so cute today." And I know that's silly, but I, of course, credited Dan because you do it. But I'm just like, I think we've mastered my unruly curls. And I was like, thank you, Amy. I'm feeling cute today. And Dan's got this curls down. So when you can kind of tame the wild mop on your head, it feels pretty good. So just a simple compliment that you're having a good hair day. That was my moment of joy. I was like, nailed it. And I have Dan Digman to thank for that.
I had a good start. It's like I had a good campus.
The why.
Can I say that? Yes.
You can say that. Thank you. All right,
it's done. And meanwhile, everybody else is throwing up in their mouths. So.
Yeah. Well.
But they should know by now that's
just us.
Yes.
Cute. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you all for taking the time to listen today. And just remember, dealing with the newly diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, and it's like you can get through it, and just reach out to people, reach out to us, and
don't give up hope. There's a lot of medication that wasn't available 25, 23 years ago, and look at Dan and I, we're still kicking, and we're doing a good job, if I may say so myself.
You may, and hopefully everyone else can like chime in and say sure. But yes, so thank you all for listening again, and we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.